Hey, Startup Hustle listeners, before we get into today's episode, I've got some exciting news to share. If you've enjoyed the insights and stories here at Startup Hustle, you're going to love what we have in store at our brand new podcast called Product Driven. I've always described myself as a product guy first, entrepreneur, software engineer, but really a product guy. I love building products. Many people struggle, though, with how to take a product idea and build a tech product, while software engineers struggle to understand the business side of things and they just don't see the big picture. My new podcast, Product Driven, is about that gap between business and the tech side of building software. It's designed for startup founders, tech leaders, software engineers, and anyone who loves tech and startups. Thank you for being part of this community. Enjoy this episode of Startup Hustle, and please subscribe to Product Driven in your podcast app, and you can also check it out on YouTube. Thank you so much.
And we're back for another episode of Startup Hustle, a podcast for entrepreneurs by entrepreneurs. If you want to start, own, or build a business, then you're in the right place. We bring you the real truth about what it's like to take something from concept to launch. From growth, innovation, experience, failing, or winning big, we've got you covered. So let's get down to business with another episode of Startup Hustle, brought to you by Fullscale.io. And we're back. Another episode of Startup Hustle. Here once again to have another conversation that I'm hoping helps your business grow. Alexa, find Startup Hustle. Hopefully, many of you have said that, but if you have or have not, you probably don't know a whole lot about Alexa and voice marketing. That's what we're going to talk about today. So I've brought someone in to help me with. Now, back to this whole Alexa voice marketing subject. With me today, I've got Justin Culliford. He's the founder of the Glasshouse Guide, and they specialize in this. Let's just start by saying, Justin, welcome to Startup Hustle.
Thanks for having me, Matt.
I appreciate you joining me. Now, if you guys want to learn, or you folks want to learn more about Glasshouse Guide, just scroll down to the show notes and click the link for glasshouseguide.com. Let's go ahead and get started by asking a little bit about your backstory and what brought you to the whole Alexa voice marketing revolution.
Sure thing. I have been in technology for a little over 20 years, primarily working for corporations and then in the consulting world. And so I built and designed a lot of great technologies for other companies over the years. And just being a natural born huge nerd when it comes to technology, I always monitor what's the latest trend, what's the latest gadget. You know, Consumer Electronics Show is like my Christmas every year. So when voice technologies came out, I latched onto it. I immediately bought the Echo Dots, put them throughout my house, started using them for all the purposes we're accustomed to, like playing music and a trivia question or a joke, just the, you know, the fun things. And so that's what got me into this space from an emerging technology perspective. Now, we can talk more about this, of course, but my love of real estate is really what led to the combination of combining Alexa plus voice marketing for real estate.
Well, let's talk more about that. I mean, tell us a little more about what you're doing at the Glasshouse Guide and, you know, like, you know, what, and it, more specifically, I'd also like to hear about how you get set up with all that. Cause, you know, it's, I think we take some of these things for granted. We just assume that Siri or Google or Alexa, they just know this stuff, but it's not that straightforward.
That's exactly right. There's always some intelligence behind the scenes, whether it's coded by sophisticated developers who create complex code that does really amazing things, or a manual configuration by someone. So that is part of it. But with Glasshouse Guide, we are enabling real estate agents to market their listings by way of Amazon Alexa. So if any of you are into real estate and you've been out there on Zillow or Trulia or any of the apps looking at houses, you'll see that agents often have photos, they have videos, and, you know, pretty good descriptions, things that get you pretty far down the road of being interested in a property. But what they're lacking really is a real-time conversation to be able to ask pertinent questions, things you're really curious about, and get a real-time answer. Most of the time, you're funneled down a form where you have to submit those questions and hope that the agent responds while you're still interested in looking at that property. So that's what we're solving. Amazon Alexa has so much capability to have a true conversation beyond just answering trivia questions and telling jokes. So that's what we've created with Glass House Guide.
What are some of those questions that people ask for realtors? I mean, just like, when can I see a showing? Or, I mean, what are some of the popular ones?
Yeah, some of the popular ones are, tell me, why are they selling? What's the asking price? Is there a place to have dinner around here? Where can I ride a bike? It's all the questions that we ask when we take a tour of a home, and we usually ask our agent who's accompanying us on that tour. But now you can ask those questions of Alexa and get answers to those. And the agent who's selling the home is in full control of those responses. We're not downloading binary bits of data from an MLS or anything like that and trying to interpret it. We allow the agent to create that narrative and to actually have those answers posed. You know, anyone can ask the question, and then the answers that are provided back are in the voice of the agent.
So, do you do that in the form of like an onboarding form for the agent, you know, where they load up a few things and, you know, put a few answers in? And because when I'm thinking about that, obviously, when it comes to real estate and homes and stuff like that, every house has a different story. You say, why are they selling? Well, there's too many ghosts, you know, they've haunted us out or something like that. I mean, is it really that customizable?
It actually is. And you nailed it. When someone signs up for our service, they just go in and add each of their properties. And really within, you know, it really depends on how fast you type, but within 5 minutes, you can write those descriptions that are answers to categories of information, hit publish, and then your listing is out there. It's available to be accessed via Amazon Alexa. So it's truly, it requires a bit of typing. You know, you want to be able to type a good description, a good narrative, and good answer to those categories of questions. But yeah, if they're selling because the house is haunted, they could absolutely put that in there. Or they can say that the owner has been transferred, you know, like if they're in a military town, like where I grew up, or if they are being just retiring and moving to Florida, you know, they can give that color and tell that story that gives so much more character to a home when someone's looking at it.
So you know, with anytime you have a new or emerging technology, the challenge becomes consumer education, or, you know, just generally like, so how do people even know that they can ask Alexa about a real estate listing? How do you go about that process of, you know, I mean, that's the whole thing. It's like, I'll give you an example. You know, as the founder of Gigabook, when we first started it, I mean, people weren't using online booking links the way that they are now. I mean, now it's almost offensive if someone doesn't send you a booking calendar. But 7 years ago, it was like, we're starting this, you know, building this thing. And, you know, people look, they're like, what the hell do I do with this? You pick a time and you enter a couple simple things and there's an appointment. No, you know, so, but I don't even remember when or at what point people became educated and learned to understand that. But I know that it was a challenge in the beginning. So how are you dealing with that?
Yeah, we're facing the exact same challenge, right? We're a brand new service that hasn't existed yet. And there's an education factor to it. So there's really two approaches that we're taking, right? One is to build excellent software where we have anticipated as many possible ways that we can imagine that people would ask about information when it comes to real estate. So that's part of it, doing that due diligence on the upfront side of building the software to say, okay, if someone's asking about why the owner is moving, what are the 50, 60, 70 ways someone could potentially ask about that? And then where can the AI technology from Amazon plug in to fill in the gaps? So that's one. The second is the education campaign. So that's where we're using social media. Prior to the pandemic, we were using trade shows and expos to go out and do demonstrations and explain how this thing works. But, you know, in the real estate world, drone footage used to be something really rare and unique and special. And now practically every agent is using drone footage for their listings. Same with 3D tours and same with video tours that you see published on YouTube. It used to be very rare and exclusive, and now it's commonplace. So our hope is that as we educate people on what this thing is and how it works, we'll gain that sort of traction and adoption.
So I have a loose understanding of the Alexa voice marketing platform. I know that there are some open source elements to it. But I do also know that finding people that have a lot of experience or developers that have a lot of experience working with it is challenging. And I know that because at FullScale, we sell development services. And I've had people ask about this. They said, well, do you have anyone that knows how to do this? Or no, we don't. So, I mean, what was your approach when it came to building it? Did you look for people that had experience or did you roll up your sleeves and try to figure it out?
It was a mix of the two. You know, when you go out and you look for someone who has AWS, Amazon Web Services experience, there are plenty of people that have that. But when you start looking down, you go down a level and look for Alexa skill development experience, it's pretty rare. So we did a bit of both. We found a small team who has a lot of expertise in this discipline. And now they're part of our permanent team. We brought them on board. So between having them who had a lot of great experience, plus other developers who are just tech savvy and pick up on things relatively quickly, we had a good mentorship program, sharing of information amongst the team, and skill building across the team so that now we have much more proficiency and a bit more redundancy as well.
Has Amazon have, you know, so I sell my own books on Amazon, and some days I'm shocked at the lack of sophistication that parts of their platform have. And then you have AWS, which is just this whale of a server hosting company. And, you know, that is quite sophisticated. Does it appear that Amazon is really, are they being aggressive about providing the skills platform for you to build out? Or is that still something that's kind of like, hey, you do it however you do it?
You know, they're putting in the good foundation on which we can build custom skills that do any sort of thing we can imagine, right? But they are building in the fundamental infrastructure to facilitate the skill development. So great example, we actually have had calls with Amazon recently learning more about some of their platform elements around Alexa for hospitality, Alexa for residential. And they're not building skills inside of Amazon, but they're creating the framework and the sandbox in which we can all play in. So what's interesting is there are skills developers out there like ourselves who have been pushing the envelope in terms of feature functionality, what we can build and what we can enable. And in some cases, Amazon is catching up a little bit to say, okay, now that we have so many skills that are operating in this sort of way, let's formalize the sandbox a little bit more. So now skill developers like us, we're having more conversations with Amazon as they roll these features out. They're learning about us, we're learning about them, and it's really a great partnership.
You may have answered this already, but what's the biggest hurdle or something you've had to overcome in building this so far?
Oh, biggest challenge by far is that it's a first of its kind. You know, if you go out to YouTube and you search Alexa Real Estate, you will see some savvy agents who over time have learned to code or learned to configure and create their own skills. And the challenge was they had to do that for literally every listing. And it, you know, not many agents, not really many professionals, period, have time for that. So the biggest challenge for us has just been communicating, yes, this thing exists. Here's the value proposition. Here's why you should add this to your marketing toolkit. And we're big advocates for saying, don't stop doing anything you're already doing to market real estate. Add this to your toolkit in addition to those cool things you're already doing. So just that awareness that we exist, this is possible. And once people see it in action, it's like you see the lights go off in their face. They're just like, oh, why hasn't this been done before? And that's our biggest challenge.
So every story of success, the characters involved have a guide or a mentor. Often with startups, that's an investor, or a partner, or someone like that. Who have you modeled the company after, or who's been an active guide, investor, partner, anyone that's made a significant difference for you so far?
Oh my gosh. You know, I've been so privileged to work in technology for so many years that I have a great, I don't know if anyone uses Rolodex anymore, but I have a great Rolodex of people that I hit up for advice. And, you know, one of them, you know, I've got Jeremy Duvall here in Atlanta at Seven Factor Software. He started a software engineering firm literally using a bonus check, and now it's a 20-person outfit. So I go to him for a lot of advice just on navigating the startup space from a business and operations perspective. And then, of course, great sounding board from a technology perspective as well. Then, you know, when I start looking at folks in the sales space, I reach out to a lot of mentors I have in real estate industry who are very successful agents that started their own brokerage, and they're a great sounding board. So there's just these people that you meet and you build great relationships with over the years that, you know, as long as you're there to help them, they're there to help you. It's a great relationship to have. And, you know, you always know you have people that, have your back.
Yeah. And that's always, you know, the, you know, we talk about the backstory, any movie that, has a thrilling victory at the end, there's always a guide, you know, and I always use Star Wars as the example. It's not because I'm a Star Wars nerd, but, you know, Obi-Wan shows Luke the ways of the Force and Yoda helps too. And, you know, basically by the time the sixth one comes out, they've got a whole advisory board of people in there that are there to help, but that's important. And, you know, so a lot of that, you know, it funnels into the plan that you've created. Now, if you're a regular listener on this show, you know that we often, well, we can laugh at plans a little bit. Some people over plan, some people under plan, some people don't plan at all. But one thing that is universal is that your plans, especially in the beginning, is never going to be right. So how did you go about planning for all this? What was your process? And then how much of it was actually accurate?
That's a great question. And I tell you, nothing goes according to plan. So if you, if you plan for issues and you set aside some contingency in terms of time and money, that is exactly the right thing to do. And, you know, I would say that we had a lot of lessons learned because this is an emerging technology. We haven't followed in the footsteps really of anyone. So there were a lot of lessons in just building the platform, but really designing and building a good platform, as long as you lean on expertise and user experience, customer experience, and solid engineering, that part is fine. Actually, building our technology platform was probably the easiest process of starting this startup. The biggest challenge has been in the marketing and branding space for us. Again, going back to that education and awareness factor. And so we try a lot of things. We run a lot of experiments. I would definitely encourage folks to run experiments, form a hypothesis, and test it, see what happens. And so we've done a lot of that. This pandemic situation, we had the best laid plans this year of going to tons of trade shows and expos. And this is great. We were driving up
Not anymore.
Not anymore. Back in early March, we were driving from Atlanta to Charlotte for a huge expo in Charlotte. And sure enough, I stopped for gas, happened to stop for gas in South Carolina on the way to Charlotte, checked my email while I was pumping gas, and got an email notification that that expo had been canceled. So, you know, had the SUV loaded up with all our trade show gear and did not need it. So, you know, sometimes things don't go according to plan, and you just have to think fast and just go and try stuff, see what works, see what's not working, and stick with what is and absolutely abandon what's not working.
We did a poll in the Startup Hustle chat group on Facebook about what percentage of your plan had actually come true. And I think zero to 25% was the winner. It might have been 25 to 50%. It was definitely not over 50%. So yeah, now when it comes to planning, one thing that shouldn't fail is your financial plan. And that's a good time for me to mention that the sponsor of this episode of Startup Hustle is Crown CFO, who offers fractional CFO services for businesses of any size and stage. You get the impact of a CFO for the fraction of a cost. You can visit crowncfo.com/hustle to learn more or click the link in the show notes. I'm curious, have you ever used fractional services similar to like what Crown does with a fractional CFO or anything else along the way to building the glass house guide?
Some of the mentors in my network probably feel like they're fractional CFOs and DMOs.
You have to pay them for they're not fractional service providers if you don't pay them though.
I know. Fortunately, in my network, they work for steak and beer. So we're good to go. But no,
it's a form of payment.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. No, we haven't leveraged that just yet for Glasshouse Guide. And another company that I'm involved with, yes, absolutely. We've used the fractional CMO for that purpose, right? We could not justify bringing on a full-time CMO, but the fractional sort of approach, that is really hot right now. And it makes a lot of sense. You're benefiting from those folks' breadth of experience. I think it makes tons of sense.
Yeah, you know, sometimes people look at services like that and they're like, what, they're like $200 an hour. I'm like, you're not paying for the hour. You're paying for all the hours they learned up till that hour.
That's
the same thing with attorneys, accountants, a lot of different people. But yeah, I love the fractional services revolution because it lets businesses get these really key quality advisors. Actually, we use Crown CFO at Full Scale. So, and we got a Rob, that's our guy. So yeah, that's really helpful. And, you know, we don't do a ton of transactions. And so I don't need a full-time CFO. I need someone that has the experience of one. So, you know, all right. So which slot of the planning correctness were you going to go with? Or were you in 0 to 25, 26 to 50, 51 to 75 correct, or 75 to 100% correct?
I'd say 26 to 50, you know, just based upon all the engineering side of the house, everything has gone so well. The technology is resilient. It is really, knock on wood, bug free. It's great software from an engineering perspective. But I never anticipated the learning curve that our target market would have around what we've created. It's one of those like field of dreams. If you build it, they will come. Well, I thought, absolutely, that will happen for us too. And I think every startup thinks that. I've worked with so many startups over the years, going back more from a consulting perspective, who have great ideas. They always have great ideas. And yes, we can absolutely build those things. But they haven't thought about the brand awareness and how are they going to get their name out there and potentially compete with others who are entering the market that do the exact same thing. So that's the piece I would say most startups, including yours truly, has underestimated, is getting your name out there and what it takes to gain that traction.
Yeah, I use the Field of Dreams reference a whole lot because there's some red flags there too, because a lot of people, and I went through this myself, just making the same error. Yeah, did it with Gigabook. You say, well, anybody could use this, and then you sit down to create your go-to-market strategy and you're like, shit, anyone could use this.
Right.
So it's like, who are we marketing to? Who are we dealing with? I think where plans fail a lot as well the expectation of growth and the path to revenue is usually off, but then the user experience. And that's why you hear so many people say, you know, get that minimally viable product out. I had a new one. Someone said that they want to build an MLP, a minimally lovable product, which I'm down with. I think that's a great idea, like make it lovable. But if you don't, until people start using it, and in your case, you talk about the learning curve. So until you have people using it, you don't know what is tripping people up. That's you don't right. know what, where they're stopping, where they're not buying, where they're complaining, where they're confused. And I think that's the most challenging part of creating a plan. And that's why, you know, some of that, it's okay in your plan to say TBD, you know, because you can take a shot at it. But if you over engineer your plan, you know, then since you've used some of my own references, I'll give you one of mine. So I used to be a sales trainer, and there was this story we used to tell about the guy that owned the store, but he never opened it because he was too busy cleaning it. And,
absolutely.
You know, that's an example of someone that over plans. And, you know, if that's all you do and you're, oh, we're not ready yet, or if you don't release that MLP, MVP thing, then you're just busy cleaning the store, you're cleaning the store. So what would you rather have? A store that's messy as hell, that people just bought a bunch of stuff in and you got a bunch of user feedback from? Or would you rather have a really clean store that never yanks the cash register? So, you know, you got to get that out there. What was one thing you immediately learned when you got your minimally lovable product into the hands of its first users?
You know, I think summing it up, great is the enemy of good. You know, I think that's one thing we were really focused on, was getting something out there for people to react to. And that meant in our case, we were able to give away some free subscriptions early on to some early adopters in our network. We said, go try this thing, you know, throw it against a brick wall and see what breaks. Just, you know, what did you expect it to do that it's not doing? And that's invaluable. You know, making adjustments, adding use cases to your software, if it's something digital, is not that particularly difficult or time consuming or expensive, depending on the use case. But getting that feedback is hugely invaluable. Like you said, we could have analysis paralysis drawing on a whiteboard and trying to anticipate every possible way that our software could be used. But until it's in someone's hands, you just can't imagine what they're actually going to do in the real world. No matter how many years of experience you have doing this, you've got to get it into the hands of the users, build in those cycles of feedback, building mechanisms for people to give feedback as well, and let them know that you're really invested in their success and you're listening and you're reacting to that feedback.
Yeah, that's great advice. And, you know, I'm going to add on to that. Don't be afraid to pick up the phone and call someone that's been using it and tell them, say, hey, look, yes. I'm like, much like Justin said, like, I'm trying to develop something here that my intention is to make your life better and easier. And I want to help you sell more stuff. Right. And then now you got their attention. All right. And say, I need to know what sucks about my product.
That's right.
And don't be afraid to tell me, like, I'm giving you full license. Like, please be as candid, be as open, tell me all of it. And then do a lot of listening, you know, a lot of listening. And that's exactly now you got to do that more than once. You have to do this with a bunch of different people. And now you listen to all these conversations collectively in your head and you listen for the echo. What do you hear over and over and over? Like with Gigabook, Gigabook's fully customizable. We cater to all of the industries that don't have an industry specific booking platform. So with high levels of customization come high levels of setup. So for us, it takes too long to set up. It's too hard to find settings. So we just created a better onboarding flow that made some intuitive decisions and simple stuff. Like if you ask someone zip code first, you can fill out like five other fields. You can make a bunch of assumptions, but we're classically trained to ask that last out of everything. It's usually the bottom right on an entire list of forms.
Yes,
so sometimes you got to break the mold a little bit and figure out where you can create some efficiency and, you know, create some wins. And now you're at a point where you can have some kind of go-to-market strategy, which is the next thing I want to talk about with you. So how did you bring your product to the market? Like what was the approach pattern like? And, you know, how did you stand out in a noisy world?
You know, we have more of a long-term view on our software. We're not trying to make $1 million overnight. That would be nice. Don't get me wrong. So if anyone's listening and wants to buy $1 million worth of Glasshouse Guide, definitely contact us. But we really want to go about this in a methodical way. We started with a small advisory group of folks that are in the real estate industry, gave the software to them for free, said, try it out. Just, you know, like I described earlier, try it out, throw it against a brick wall, see what breaks. Got great feedback from them. And then what's great about it is as every agent puts this in their listings, other agents are seeing it. Now they're starting to talk and say, well, my gosh, if this agent who has a great reputation is now using this tool, maybe I should try it too. So we've had a lot of organic growth that way. It's just by word of mouth, exposure. And, you know, as soon as we gain a subscriber who is a top agent in a particular market, every other agent in their market is looking at them and studying, what are they doing? What's that thing that they're trying now? And they follow in their footsteps, which makes a lot of sense. So that we've had a lot of good organic growth that way. We've also had good digital outreach over the course of this year since everything in person got canceled. And now we can officially, even as of last week, say we're an international company. We have our first subscriber in Canada. So, you know, it's just been a lot of good organic growth. Just that education piece is critical. And then building in the mechanisms to listen and adapt has been critical. We work fast, you know, and that's one of the benefits of being a startup. We don't have all that corporate bureaucracy and steering committees and things like that that are in our way. we make thoughtful decisions, but we can also make fast decisions to make sure we're adapting to what our clients want.
We have a lot of listeners in Canada, so they'll appreciate this question. For the Canadian version, do you have to make it say A at the end of everything, or do you just leave it like we would say it here?
You know, we leave that up to the subscriber. If they want to type in the word A, they can absolutely type in A as often as they like. And just like here in Georgia, we can type in y'all as much as we want to. I'm not sure how good Alexa sounds when she says y'all, but we'll give it a go.
Yeah, it's funny because I have two small children and they, you know, I actually unplugged my Alexa about a month ago, because they would just sit there and ask it to play the same song over and over and over again. You know, I'm like, we do not need to listen to the Bubble Guppies song again, kids. We have heard it 47 times today, and that's enough for me. So, okay. So it sounds like you're finding some success and you've learned a couple lessons along the way. So what does success look like at Glasshouse Guide? Like, what's it, define a win?
You know, our ultimate goal would be that as a marketing tool, we are just as popular as drone footage, YouTube videos, 3D tours, a lot of the things that have become requisite. So that's really our goal, is to join the ranks among requisite marketing tools in the real estate industry. Our hope this year, you know, we're in our third quarter now. We're hoping just to continue to ride the coattails of this strong real estate market. You know, a lot of agents say this is a great market. Houses are on the taking any time hardly at all to sell. They're selling above asking, multiple offers. It's a great time to be in real estate. But it's also a great time to differentiate yourself, because this isn't going to last forever. And as soon as the market does take a dive, which we know it will, we don't know when, but we know it will, folks who have a need in the real estate market are going to look for agents who stand out and have more tools and have more competencies and capabilities than the rest. So we say, you know, now is a great time to test drive tools like ours, see what enhances your business, and make sure that you stand out when things do take a dive.
Yeah, anything that automates anything repetitive is good for your business. And it has continued to amaze me how difficult that is to get people to understand. And, you know, and I know I've made several gigabook references mm-hmm. today. I thought that when we were building it, I'm a business process automation nerd. Like, it's actually what the last week I've just been completely obsessed with a certain part of our recruitment process and the system we built for it. Because I'm seeing too many people do too many things manually. You have platforms like Zapier that can connect 2,000 different things to 2,000 different things, and you know that whole issue. So when we were building Gigabook, I thought people would be excited to have a streamlined business, to automate a lot of that stuff. And then I quickly learned that first off, people buy benefits, not features. So you need to know that. But the benefit that our users were the most excited about was it gave them peace of mind. That was it. And now you can't put peace of mind in an ROI cell of a spreadsheet, and you can't put a graph next to it and do a lot of different stuff. But really the thing that people said the most is said, well, this unchained me from my business. And, right. You know, that's the whole thing, is like, whether, you know, you're looking for voice technology or your own startup or you're a small business owner, there's a series of automation is at your fingertips. I mean, it really, really is. I mentioned I spent the last week being obsessed about something. I was also slightly horrified when I hooked up a bunch of automation and then checked the process of it. And a week later, it told me I had saved about 1,200 manual actions. And I was like, wow. Now, the thing that made me say wow is I've been paying people to do that.
That's right.
For too long. So, I mean, really, when it comes to automation and different stuff like that, the things that people are like, well, I don't want to replace my people. Or what am I going to do if it automates? Maybe something more valuable?
Well, exactly.
The things that you automate are always the things that no one wants to do anyway. And or doesn't do, or they're just like those things. It's like those echoey things. Like, And well, there's an Amazon reference for you that was unintentional with the Echo, but you know, that whole part. So I would assume that with voice marketing and that kind of technology, a lot of those questions, I mean, if you're a realtor and you want to take six different calls to answer six questions that something else could have done before you or for you,
exactly it.
Yeah. And people say, my buyers or my clients, they like my personal touch. No, they don't. They just want the answer. They literally just want the answer. Like, that's why Amazon as a marketplace is so massive, because you can buy it with one touch. It's quick. It's easy. They don't want anything else. They don't want to talk to you. This is like, you can't even get people to answer a phone call anymore. So, you know, if you're not thinking about doing this, whether it's with real estate or other stuff, these skills are, I'm not going to overly simplify, because I am aware that they are kind of difficult to get it to do certain things. Much like we ran into with Gigabook, you think that putting an item on a calendar, that's really straightforward. It's what are the 97 other things that happen in conjunction with that, after that, including changes, if thens, and whatever. And all of a sudden, this spider web begins to form. And I would imagine that's probably similar with what you've built. It's, hey, Alexa, are you there? Yes, I'm here. Okay, that's probably not hard, but then what next? And, you know, that's a whole nother dog and pony show that you got to go through. Now, we end our episodes of Startup Hustle with what we call the Founders Freestyle, which we're going to get into that. I'm going to give you a chance to give your closing remarks, whatever those may be. So while you, here we are at the Founders Freestyle, what kind of advice or statement or input would you like to give the hustlers out there?
Well, thank you, Matt. I appreciate being on today. And, you know, I want to mention that one of those biggest barriers to doing anything in the startup world, or even just being an end user trying to adopt a new technology, is that perception that if it's high tech, it must be difficult. If it's high tech, it must be expensive. And that it does not necessarily mean the case anymore. There's so many tools out there, like the ones you were just describing, that are low cost and sometimes even just a month-to-month subscription. So there's really no reason to not try these advanced tools. So, you know, my advice is to any startup is to go out and listen to your constituents, listen to who you're trying to serve, listen to their pain points. What are they trying to achieve and what can you do to help them be more successful? Obviously, you want to be successful. Obviously, you want to sell more subscriptions or licenses or whatever you're selling. But the fastest way to get there is to solve someone else's problem and to be there and be an advocate for them. Just like with a real estate agent in our world, I don't expect my real estate agent to be like a contestant on Jeopardy answering trivia questions about why is this person selling their house or where can I ride a bike nearby. I want them to be a consultant and an advocate for me with a high dollar transaction. So what can you do for your market to free them up to do their very best job and add the most value for their own clients? So that's my advice. Listen to your market, react to them, and trust them. They're not going to steer you wrong. As long as you are listening, they're not going to steer you wrong.
Yeah, I'm going to parlay off that. I'm going to start with the automation thing. We are in a golden age of turnkey tech. And, you know, even if it is complex, you're right. It doesn't mean that it's expensive. You just have to try. You have to actually make an effort. And the thing is if you, and you go through a little learning curve, then you learn how to do it and you will continue forward with your life as a founder or a business owner, forever recognizing where you can create efficiency. And, you know, it's pretty easy. If you're curious about where to start, you got to look at where things stop at your business. In your case, you talked about the clunky contact form. Like, the contact form is going away. We've already started replacing them on our own websites. And there's better things that walk you through and just keep people moving in that process. People see a big, long, clunky form. They don't want to fill it out. And you know, that has a lot to do with why you're not getting the leads that you want or making the sales that you want. And, you know, then overall, like, don't be afraid to try new things. You know, some, I mean, you, if go. All right. One of the favorite episodes I've ever recorded this show, I think it was number 12. It was Lyril Holt, who was the founder of CarStar, which has like 1500 franchises everywhere. And Lyril's been a mentor and a friend of mine. He was in my book, Balance Me. He's a great guy. But, you know, he said, don't be afraid to be a coward. And I what do you mean? He said, well, you got to find something that no one else is doing and then go somewhere to do it where they'll leave you alone to get real good at it. And you know, you put it that way, you're like, wow, okay, that makes sense. And in some of these cases, when it comes to emerging tech and you look at like Alexa voice marketing or stuff like that, and I'm sitting here thinking while we're recording this, like, do I need to go program a skill that's, hey, what's a Alexa, recommend a business podcast, like, or exactly. Something, I don't know. Cause the thing is you might be the first one in there. And if you're the only response, then you're going to be winning for a while. So, you know, there's a lot of, look, you get a gold medal for first for a reason. The first place of an auction is the highest cost for a reason. Like there's a lot of, the Lakers won a championship last night. Now, by the time this comes out, that might be old news, but they got a trophy for that. The second place team didn't get one. So there's a lot of benefit to being first. Anyway, once again, thanks everybody for listening. If you get a chance, go to the Startup Hustle chat on Facebook. We can talk a little bit more about this. You can take part in our polls, our different stuff, interact with our different hosts. While you're there on the internet, come follow us on the gram at Startup Hustle Podcast. I'm going to get out of here. So I'll see you next time, Justin.
Take care. Thank you.
Startup Hustle is brought to you by Fullscale.io, helping you build a software team quickly and affordably. Make sure you reach down and hit that subscribe button, then come find us on Instagram. See you next time. We do it.